Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
I believe that in our weaknesses, God is strong. And I believe that God uses our weaknesses. I believe that we ought to do that which we are strong in. I believe that when we are gifted and talented, that we ought to use our talent for God. We ought to use the gifts that God gives us for Him. And if you have a strength in your life, then use that strength for the glory of God.
You may be really good at something, and that strength, no matter what it is, comes from God. We may not brag about our weaknesses, but those are just as important to God. When He uses our weaknesses, there can be no doubt that it is all God and zero us. With more from Genesis chapters 32 and 33, here's Robert Furrow.
He took the goats by themselves and sent them out, then put some distance between the herd of the ewes and the rams that were behind them, and then some distance between the camels, and then some distance between the donkeys, so that each of these would become a buffer. And He said, I will appease him with presence that goes before me, and afterwards I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me. So the presence went on over before him, and he himself lodged that night in the camp. And he arose that night and took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed over the fork of Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook, and he sent over what he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, a couple of things. First of all, Jacob's left alone. Ultimately, you will stand before God alone. Ultimately, it will be you and God, and you will have to answer for God. You cannot rest on anyone else's faith. You must have your own relationship with God. So Jacob sends everything away, and there he is alone. He had been alone 20 years ago when he had stopped at Bethel. Now he's alone again. And a man shows up and wrestles him. Now, I don't know what that's all about. How does, just a guy show up and start wrestling? Was it a testosterone thing? Come up, push him and push him back, and hey, don't you push me, and next thing you know, they're going at it. And they wrestle all night long. Now, we learn from other passages that this is God. Jacob, the Bible says, wrestled with God all night long. So God takes on the form of a man. This is most likely Jesus coming and wrestling with Jacob. Now, if Jacob versus God, can you picture that as a poster? Jacob versus God. Who's going to win? Is there any question? The fact that they wrestled all night is because it's fixed, like professional wrestling. I realize some of you don't think it's fixed, but it is. That's a show. You may just enjoy the show. God has this fixed. Because God could wipe Jacob out in a moment. But Jacob has been wrestling with God. God doesn't want to wrestle with him. God just wants to give it to him. But Jacob's pulling and wrestling. Are you one who wrestles with God? You're just wrestling with God. You just never have surrendered to him. You just never said, all right, Lord, whatever you want. I'm ready. I give up. Whatever you want. How much better to be there? How much better to be completely surrendered to God instead of wrestling? This is an analogy of the life of Jacob. He has wrestled God all of his life. And now God shows up and wrestles him, and he wrestles him all night long until the breaking of day. Verse 25, and when he saw that he did not prevail against him, that's God seeing that he didn't prevail against Jacob, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So he weakens Jacob in order to show himself strong. Isn't that interesting? I believe that in our weaknesses, God is strong. And I believe that God uses our weaknesses. I believe that we ought to do that which we are strong in. I believe that when we are gifted and talented, that we ought to use our talent for God. We ought to use the gifts that God gives us for Him. And if you have a strength in your life, then use that strength for the glory of God. But God uses our weaknesses for Him. He takes that which is weak. I think of Charles Swindoll. Is there any more eloquent speaker than Charles Swindoll? His messages are so smooth, and his titles are the best titles. For a guy that looks for a title every week, it's like Charles Swindoll went up to the tree of titles and picked them all for himself. I get a good title and I think, I wonder if anybody's used that title. I type it in and I find it's Charles Swindoll, trying to steal Charles Swindoll's title for certain passages in the Bible. In fact, sometimes I've just downright stolen. I just figured, you can't copyright titles, I'm taking it. I'm going to use it. Charles Swindoll stuttered as a child. Isn't that incredible? And he says that that's the reason that he so deliberately says the things that he says. He's turned into the most eloquent preacher that I know of in the United States, in the world perhaps. And as a child, he stuttered. If anybody had told him when he was stuttering, God's going to use you as a mouthpiece to speak to a generation, do you think he would have believed it? And yet God took a stuttering child and turned him into Charles Swindoll. I couldn't read when I was in school. Literally couldn't read. My teachers would say to me, you seem bright enough, but I don't know why you can't do your work. I couldn't read. So what did they do? This is Albuquerque and all of their wisdom in the Albuquerque public school system. Let's send them on to the next grade. It's just like God to take somebody who can't read and say, I'm going to use you to read the Bible to people every week. And even as I began to teach 27 years ago, sometimes I'd be reading and I'd panic. In our weaknesses, God is strong. And God uses our weaknesses. And that story could be retold over and over and over again. So he weakens Jacob so that he can have him and cause him to surrender. See, if God uses someone who stutters, then God gets the glory. And Charles Swindoll will always say, look what God has done in my life. If God uses someone who can't read, then you can't become prideful about what God has done. You just go, God's so good at what God has done. And if God uses you when you say, oh, I can't do anything for God, it's in your weakness that he's strong. And if you don't have any perceived weakness, then maybe God will give you a weakness. That was a scary thought. And Jacob limps for the rest of his life on this. Then in verse 26, and he said, let me go. That's the angel of the Lord saying to Jacob. Jacob's like got him in this death grip and he won't let God go. He says, let me go for day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now, there's wanting the blessings of God. And so he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. He had gotten that name when he was born because he was a twin and his older brother was born first. And when his older brother was born, as they brought the baby out, there's the umbilical cord and there's the hand of Jacob grabbed on to the heel of Esau. As in, oh no, you won't go out before me. I will not let you go. And so they named him heel catcher or surplanter. Now, surplanter's not a good thing. The name surplanter was an insult. In times past, when a king would be on a throne and he would be taken off the throne by a supplanter, it wasn't a good name. So Jacob had been given that name and he says, my name is Jacob. And he said, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. The name Israel. Now we get the nation of Israel, but before there was ever a nation of Israel, there was a man named Israel. And the man named Israel, of all people, is Jacob. And Israel means ruled by God. That truly is a blessing. No longer will you be supplanter, but now you will be ruled by God. Jacob had tried his entire life to rule God, and now he's going to be ruled by God because that's what God wanted. God wanted him to finally come to the place where he said, okay, whatever you want for me, God, that I will do. Some of you here tonight have got to come to that place. Some of you here have been living with God, hoping that he'll make your plans and your dreams come true, when God's not interested in that. God's interested in your surrender, ruled by God. That's the blessing. You say, well, what kind of a blessing is that? Give him a new name. Because there's a blessing in being ruled by God. The blessing isn't in getting God to do what you want him to do. The blessing is in being ruled by God, doing what God wants to do, whatever that might be, with a hip that's out of joint or not. That's the blessing. That's what Job knew when he said, even if you kill me, I'll serve you. Because what's done here isn't eternity. And so he changes his name to Israel. He says, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Jacob struggled with men all of his life, Laban, and with Esau, and he's prevailed, and he's wrestled with God, and he's prevailed. And then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Literally, the face of God. And he realizes his life has been preserved, because if God wanted to put Jacob down, God could have done it in a moment. And it says, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip and the muscle that shrank. So I guess they kind of had a tradition that they wouldn't eat a certain muscle that shrank on Jacob's hip. How exactly they knew what muscle it was, I don't know, but they wouldn't do it. So chapter 33. Now Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming at him, were 400 men. So he divided his children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants, and he put the maidservants and the children in front, Leah and her children behind them. So he puts the maidservants out with their children, and what is there? There's four of them between these two concubines. Then he sends Leah out, and Leah has six sons, okay? Then he sends Rachel out. It says, and then Rachel with Joseph. So Rachel only has one son now. She'll have another son, Benjamin, and she dies when she has Benjamin. But she has one son at this point, so he sends her out. This is obvious favoritism. Jacob has sent everything out before him, and then he sends the concubines out, then he sends Leah out, then he sends Joseph and Rachel out. Think of his sons, who will eventually sell Joseph into slavery. And we say, how could brothers sell a brother into slavery? Because of the favoritism in this home. It is so obvious that it has caused bitterness in their hearts. And it doesn't stop here. And then he goes over himself. And by the way, Jacob hasn't changed anything, has he? Isn't that funny? You will now no longer be called Jacob, but you will be called ruled by God. And then he gets up and goes, okay, let me send my wives out in front of me. Keep this up, you know, still send the buffers out. Then he crossed over before them and bowed down on the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. This is a great reunion. Could have been something completely different, but he shows up there with Esau and they embrace and he weeps. And he lifted his eyes and he saw the women and the children and said, who are these with you? And he said, the children whom God has graciously given your servant. Then the maidservants came near and their children and bowed down. And Leah also came near and her children and bowed down. And Joseph and Rachel came near and they bowed down. And Esau said, what do you mean by all of this company which I have met? And he said, these are to find favor in your sight, my lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. And Jacob said, no, please, if I have found favor in your sight, then receive my present from my hand, inasmuch as I have seen your face as though I have seen the face of God, and you are pleased with me. Please take my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dwelt graciously with me and because I have enough. So he urged him and he took it. Then Esau said, let us take our journey and let us go, and I will go before you. So Esau says, let's go and I'll go with you. We'll go together. Jacob doesn't have any desire to live anywhere near Esau. He doesn't want to be around his brother at all. Doesn't trust him, no doubt. And so Jacob said to him, my Lord knows that the children are weak. The flocks and the herds which are nursing are with me. And if the men should drive them hard one day, all the flock would die. Please let my Lord go on ahead before his servant, and I will lead on slowly at a pace which the livestock that go before me and the children are able to endure until I come to my Lord in Seir. And Esau said, now let me leave you with some of the people that are with me. But he said, what need is there? Let me find favor in your sight. So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. So Jacob told Esau, I'm going to go meet you in Seir. Esau leaves and goes to Seir ahead at the urging of Jacob. And then verse 17, and Jacob journeyed to Succoth. Now, Succoth is nowhere near Seir. His brother left and went one way, and Esau looked and waited for him to go and went the other way to get away from him. And so he travels to Succoth. He built himself a house and made booths for his livestock. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth, which is booths. And Jacob came. They were creative in their names, weren't they? They built booths and said, let's call it booths. It's like when you're going down the road and you see, pipeline road up ahead. And you wonder why they named it that. Or up in Phoenix on the other side, there's a road called Bloody Basin Road. And you think, how'd that get that name? You know, that Bloody Basin we came by, that's the road. Oh, yeah, the Bloody Basin Road. So they called it Succoth. Then Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. And he came from Paddan Aram, and he pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of land where he had pitched his tents from the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of silver. And they erected an altar there and called it El Elhoi Israel, or literally, God, the God of Israel. And so Jacob receives the name that he has given him. He now calls this place, he erects an altar and calls it God, the God of Israel. And so now he surrendered himself to being ruled by God. We too must be Israel. We too must find ourselves completely ruled by him. And if you have wrestled with God, and even if you've wrestled with men in God and prevailed, it's time to say, all right, Lord, whatever you want. I told you that at 19 years old, staring up at the ceiling in my room, I prayed that prayer. Okay, Lord, whatever you want for me, no longer what I want for me, but whatever you want for me. And it was then that my life began to change. It was only a few months that I met my wife. A few months after that I began to attend a church where I continued to grow in Christ. A couple of years after that I married Lisa, and then we found ourselves shortly after being married walking into a new church that was starting in a theater called Calvary Chapel of Albuquerque. And God began to shape the direction that my life was going to go. The funny thing is that when I prayed that prayer, there was a sense of surrender. There was a sense in my heart of giving up something of value. Okay, God, no longer what I want, but whatever you want. No longer what I want, which is this grand whatever, and whatever you want, whatever little thing you've got for me. And I've learned that God's word is so true when it says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Isn't that great? Exceedingly abundantly above. Jacob learned it. I've learned it. And as you surrender yourself to God, you will learn it as well. God shows himself strong to those who diligently seek him. If you search for me, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart, God has said. May we seek him with all of our heart. May we surrender everything. We're arm wrestling God. It's like us in our little skinny arm. God with his big muscular arm. And God's like, okay, 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 okay. May we just surrender to whatever His will is, because God's will is good on our behalf. Good and acceptable. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, we want to thank You. Lord, we are so blessed to be here tonight, gathering together and studying Your Word. We surrender ourselves to You. We too want to be called Israel, ruled by God. We don't want to have a plan for You, but we want You to work Your plan out in each one of our lives. We thank You from what we learned from Jacob wrestling with You. We pray that we would surrender and no longer wrestle with You, but submit and surrender to You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for a couple of minutes. And I'd like to give you an opportunity, if you're here today and you have never surrendered to Christ, you've never come to that place where you've said, I'm done living for myself and I'm ready to live for You. You've never had your sins forgiven. Maybe like me, you believed that you were okay because you believed in God. I never questioned the existence of God. And so I thought I was okay until God reached out and challenged me that I needed my sins forgiven. Sean shared a couple songs with us tonight. And in one of those songs, he talked about the victory that was won for us upon the cross. And in one of the lines of that song, he says, "You were arrested to set us free. Jesus was taken captive so the captives could be set free. He went to the cross and He shed His blood so your sins could be forgiven. No matter how dark, no matter how bad, if you would simply say, Lord, forgive me. I surrender myself to You today." So if you're here today and you're done living for yourself and you're ready to find that forgiveness and start whatever plan God has for you, whatever walk God has for you, God's got a race for you to run. He's got a purpose for your life. If you want to give your life to Him today, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Just lift your hand up. Lift your hand up now, if you would, please. Lift it up high so I can see it. I want to make my way around the room and I want to acknowledge the hands that are raised. God bless you, ma'am. Right here in the front. That's great. Anyone else? Just raise your hand now. God bless you. That's awesome. Anyone else? God bless you, ma'am. Over by the pole, over the other side. That's great. I'm just going to scan the room one more time. Just raise your hand now. I'm not going to go on and on. So if you want to give your life to Christ, then lift up your hand now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. If God is speaking to you, then don't harden your heart today. So I'll scan the room one more time, starting at my right. Just raise your hand now. Lift your hand up high so I can see it. All right. And God bless you, ma'am. And God bless you as well. That's awesome. Anyone else? All right. You can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from You. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus upon the cross. So I invite You into my life and I turn from my sin that I can live for You. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God.
We hope you've been blessed and encouraged here at Practical Christian Living Radio to live out God's Word and to love like Jesus as you do. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. For our local radio listeners, Calvary Tucson is open and holding physical services while being mindful and considerate of social distancing guidelines. We also have new service times. Our East Campus now meets Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times will remain the same, Wednesday, 6 p.m. at East Campus, 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you have concerns about your health or you're in a high-risk category, please attend our online campus. You can watch at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. For a complete list of social distancing policies and updates on when other ministries within our church will reopen, please visit calvarytucson.com. If Practical Christian Living Radio has blessed you and you would like to donate and help support this ministry, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? Please email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.